Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everything is Time podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today we have a topic that
Ruby I thought you were going to say a special guest. It's okay.
Yeah, this glass of water is going to come in.
Well, you pointed at me. I'm like, how am I a special guest, Jeremy? I'm literally on the podcast, but okay.
No. I was pointing to you to say you have this idea.
Jeremy fired me from the podcast, and then he asked me to be the first special guest he has on his podcast. So, wouldn't it just be just Jeremy if you had a podcast?
It'd be more passive aggressive.
JJ?
I'd probably get sued by TLC.
Can you imagine? The universe would, though. It's like getting a lawsuit from TLC. Yeah,
class action filed against Jeremy via cartoon plane.
I would live to see that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, your topic idea
is communication.
Right.
Because we're so good at it. If you haven't listened to our previous episodes, go listen to them.
Yeah.
We are the epitome of A+ communication. Yeah.
Okay.
When people talk about, wow, they have such good communication, they're just meeting us, you know?
Right. They open up the dictionary of communication. It's just a picture of us.
Yeah. Well, not a picture. Just, we were too lazy to send in pictures.
An audio file?
So it's just, Ruby and Jeremy. I just add Ruby and Jeremy. That's it. We were too lazy to send in pictures.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
That's very on brand for us. Communication has really changed over time. When we were younger, messaging system was email, really.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, but spoiler alert, I didn't have a phone when I was younger.
Nor did I.
I was not in fourth grade with an iPhone.
Were they around in fourth
grade? No, I think the first iPhone was fifth grade.
I remember there were kids that had Blackberries.
It was, oh my gosh, yeah. You had Blackberries, and then you had the phones that flipped to the side and went up and had a keyboard. And then you had the Nokia flip phone, the Razor. That one was popular. But we didn't have phones, so we had to email each other. And you were a lot more, you said random things that didn't really have anything to do with the our email chain was we were talking, but also sometimes we'd respond to what the other person said, but a lot of it was just our own thoughts about life, and then the next person would give their own thoughts about life, and so it was we were consistently having a conversation with ourselves, because your emails matched up with what you were saying and my emails matched up with what I was saying, but together it made no sense.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I know my mother had my email on her phone.
Oh.
I know that she knew my password, had access to it. I don't know if your parents were like that or not with you. I wonder what she was thinking if she ever opened it and read the email chains, you know?
No, my parents never did that. No, I mean sometimes I get texts on my home. Cause I was someone who I saved all my friends' names once I got an iPhone as nicknames.
Oh, you're one of those people. Okay.
Right. So I remember saving one friend of mine. There's this inside joke or whatever. So it was the Spanish word muchacho, right?
Yeah.
And then bro at the beginning. So it was bro-chacho. And so my mom just saw the icon pop up on my phone, and she thought it said borracho, which means drunkard. So she was very confused. Why is a borracho texting you, Ruby? What is this? And she wasn't mad about it. She was very confused. And I was this is so-and-so. That's our nickname. So yeah. No, my parents did not read through our email chains.
No, I don't know if mine did. I'm just saying
they could have access to it, right? I mean, it's not there is anything that, except maybe emergency, SOS.
is she dying? Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was the main method of communication. But no, I think it'd be interesting to see how we interacted back then versus now. What that was like. Because I feel it would be a different vibe, don't you think? I mean, still chaotic.
It'd be chaotic. I remember being chaotic. I remember it was still a situation where it's we would get jokes and then other people wouldn't really understand what we were talking about.
It was very much a situation where we got away with things, and then we realized we did. We just kept doing that because we knew we could get away with them because we were problem students. So no one ever really was them. So we knew we could get away with stuff, which we really did for the most part. Not that we did anything terrible, but we were pretty mischievous
in the library especially.
Yeah. You know, just
Just thrown books.
Yeah, Jeremy just like, I don't know who threw the book.
You threw the book.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. Okay, so we used to have this thing, right? I remember this. In our library, we used to... This is a whole story. So this is in sixth grade, and we had AR. This all goes back to AR.
It all leads back to AR.
Right. All roads lead to hell. All roads go back to AR. Accelerated reading, for those of you who don't know what that is now. Mm-hmm. So we had like a library, and our teacher would have like a time slot, like obviously like a time where she was like, let's go down to the library and you guys can pick out books to read for AR.
Yeah.
So everybody was like looking at the point, because like the points they would put on like the sides of the books, and you were supposed to like take this 30 minutes or however many they gave us to pick out books that you would read and then get points on for a grade.
Yep.
And so while everybody else was like looking for very meaningful books, Jeremy and I were like in the children's section reading books. Like, I kid you not. We were like reading like the Biscuit series. Amelia Bedelia.
Yep, Amelia Bedelia.
Junie B. Jones.
Biscuit was the icon, though. Biscuit. He was the moment.
Exactly. We just moved on to JJ the Jet Plane. That's really all this changed.
Yeah.
So we used to like... The way it was set up was that there was like a desk, and this like children's section was like pretty tall, so we could like hide behind it and read books. And then Jeremy just happened to be on like the other side of it this one time, and we would like throw books at each other across the room so that it, I don't know how that was more inconspicuous than us just like,
I don't know,
handing it to each other.
I have no idea.
But like, I think we also tried to like sit kind of apart so it didn't look like we were just like straight up reading them. But I remember throwing a book to you because I would read it, and then I'd throw it to Jeremy and he would read it and then he would put it back. So I remember one time I took a book and I just like chucked it at Jeremy and then he ducked and it just like went, like it just hit another student in the face, but the student had glasses. So this poor guy was like in the like biography section looking for like a good book to read, very academic student.
Yeah.
And his glasses just like fly off his face. They didn't break. But I remember Jeremy and I just like, because he couldn't see, so he's like getting his glasses. And then Jeremy and I, in this meantime, we're looking at each other. We look at the teacher. Teacher didn't notice anything. And then we just like kind of move away.
Yeah.
And like hide behind like the children's book thing.
Yeah.
And like nobody ever knew that was us, because I don't think the person who we hit in the face of the book even knew we did that, because we disappeared right after he put his glasses back on. So like, yeah, we weren't trying to be mean. It just, Jeremy just... was too afraid to catch a book. So, you know,
Biscuit can scare you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the kind of like mischief we're talking about. Yeah. It was probably a lot of complaining. I would have lived to see the younger versions of ourselves complain about like the yarn project in our class.
I would have lived to see the younger versions of us in computer class.
That was a whole mind game. Wait, what are you talking about? Mavis Beacon?
That's part of computer class. Yeah.
It was definitely interesting dynamic.
Yeah, all I remember from that class is Mavis Beacon, that game. And then one of the times where she actually made us do an assignment, it was like an Excel assignment. And I brought it back and she tried to accuse me of cheating.
This is the same teacher who I turned in something early and she took 10 points off because it wasn't on the due date that I turned it in.
That tracks.
I was so mad. I know I sent you an email about that. Immediately after I went home and I was like, Jeremy, this.
And it was like that teacher was always complaining about like people not turning stuff in on time.
I know. I was like, I'm doing this early and I just did the assignment out 10 points off. I was livid. I was so mad. But you really couldn't argue with this teacher.
No.
It was a bad idea. Okay, another thing I remember consistently is that like how it worked was because you didn't really move classes. Except once you got into sixth grade, they kind of like transitioned you to like starting to move to different classrooms. So you had to wait for the teacher to come to your classroom to take you to their classroom. And she would always get so mad at us because her class would start late, but it's because she would come pick us up late. It's like we literally can't go. So we would get like a lecture. And let me tell you, the walk from our classroom down to hers was so many flights of stairs. And it was just like a lecture the whole way. It was definitely interesting. But yeah, no, like the dynamic was, I think that's how we bonded, was our like dislike for this teacher.
Yeah, looking back.
I mean, I don't really remember like formally meeting necessarily. I just remember us sitting in science class together. I don't really remember us meeting, if I'm being honest with you. I just remember us being friends. Like, I don't really remember us meeting formally.
But isn't that normal for friends? Or do you remember like where you've met friends?
The only time I remember, like when it comes to childhood friends, I remember when I, maybe some of the ones in seventh grade, because they were like new students, And then like one of our mutual friends who I met like in second grade, I remember because it was just like the weirdest conversation. And so I remember that because it was like really strange. Otherwise, no, like I don't remember our first conversation, which I'm assuming wasn't in science class, right?
It might have been.
Okay, who talked more? Were you talkative in sixth grade? Why do I not remember this?
I mean, I guess I was more talkative.
But like, was the dynamic that we both talked about the same?
Probably. Neither of us were the loudest people in the room.
No. Yeah, but it was very quick, like dynamic duo type thing. Because I remember us being like, I would read a book, give it to you. Yeah. Things like that. And I think we also sat next to each other. I don't know. Well, yeah, because your name was like, they went by last name. So I was always sandwiched between you and then another one of our mutual friends. So I remember
I know
that.
In science we sat next to each other.
Yeah, because you got to pick the seats in science. But like in homeroom, you didn't get to. It was right. By last name, but we always ended up next to each other anyway because like, yeah. It was like a win-win for us. Like if they let us choose where we sat, it's like we would sit next to each other. But then even if we didn't, it was like, well, we're going to end up next to each other anyway. So like sad for people who are like, we don't want them to sit next to each other. So let's just like make them sit.
And like you said, I don't think they thought we were troublemakers and we weren't.
We weren't. And it also helped that like the other parts of our friend groups were troublemakers. So yes. Like in comparison,
yeah.
It's like we could they were never paying attention to what we were doing because the other people in our friend group were doing stuff that was so much worse.
Yep.
Or they weren't doing anything at all and they still somehow got in trouble. So
yep.
God bless our mutual friend.
Martyrs.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be interesting to spend like a day with like our younger selves. I'm not really sure what we would do. Like if we were like have an activity planned, I don't know. we can't be like we're going to the Modern Art Museum. I don't think younger me would be like, yay, modern art.
Younger me would not either. I'm not
younger
sure.
Younger you would probably be like bowling alley.
Oh, today me would be like bowling. Well, pandemic, but today me would still be bowling alley. Yeah.
Oh, really? You and your younger self would be like, yes, bowling alley for like
a... I'd go bowling. Yeah, I like bowling.
But like that would be your first choice of activity?
That'd be something I would think to do with younger me.
Interesting. I don't know what I would do with younger me. Younger me, maybe like, what did I like to do?
Yarn art competition, perhaps?
Lies.
Piano recital.
Photography, never. Oh my gosh, no. Maybe like photography and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would tell myself to give up on piano at all costs before wow. I got too deep into it. I'd be like, look, you're not an instrument person, so just give it up now. Pan to guitar underneath the bed. Like literally. Yeah. Yeah, I would probably tell myself that. If I had to give myself advice, it'd be like, don't spend too much time on instruments. What advice would you give yourself? Like middle school you, like sixth grade you.
I don't know what I would say. I guess just like people are always going to suck. So be prepared.
That's so sad.
But it's true.
Jeremy, you're younger. You're going to make it more cynical at a younger age.
Making up for lost time.
Oh my gosh. No, you cannot say that to yourself. Do you know how screwed we would be if like the younger versions of ourselves saw the older versions of ourselves? It would be like the universe is definitely screwing with
us. My gosh.
That would create some kind of like time thing to where it would be like the younger versions of ourselves just in therapy. Always.
Right. I mean, that'd be funny.
We would have to do like the whole Harry Potter thing. I don't know if you get this reference where you can't let your like younger version of yourself see yourself because that messes with time.
Yeah, because of the wands.
Anyway, we wouldn't be able to let the younger versions of ourselves see ourselves. So, but that would be weirder though, because then we have to just like walk around and try not to be seen.
Yeah. And like, how can you be seen? You're holding butter
beer. No, stop.
Look, as a Ravenclaw.
I hate you. Younger me, don't be friends with Jeremy. Make him watch Harry Potter when he's younger. Maybe
I saw Harry Potter when I was younger. I don't think I've seen Harry Potter in probably 10 years. It's maybe
a sad
more.
Day. It's a sad day.
But I still remember all the details though.
Okay, anyway. So yeah, we couldn't like, would you only want to like see the younger versions of ourselves if we could interact with them? Or would you prefer not to interact with them?
I'd prefer not to interact with them because I think interacting with them would lead to some sort of like time warp issue.
Yeah, maybe like and we don't want to be like the universe is insane at that young of an age.
Right, and we just love ourselves so much now, like we wouldn't want to change anything.
I think it'd be interesting to like
lies. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. I think that it would be interesting to have like a whole like Christmas Carol type thing where we're like viewing ourselves like in the past, but then like you can't interact with the present version. But I think it'd also be frustrating because you imagine like a day in the life of like us at like that school, but then not being able to do anything. It might be interesting.
It'd be interesting. Yeah.
I would kind of want to go back to freshman year and see what I was like, because I really don't know.
I would like to go back to senior year.
I don't.
I would want to go back to senior year, and that would be the year I'd give myself advice.
You wouldn't want to see senior year not be able to interact at all with anyone. That would be horrible.
No. My point is, like, if there were a time period where I could go back
and give yourself advice,
and that year would be totally different. I'd be like, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I would do that too.
You and Ruby just have to do this.
It literally would take just one conversation for us not to be completely screwed that whole year. But then to like flip it back on the other people would have been so much fun. It would have been
glorious.
It would have been like everything to do that for a whole entire year. Definitely would have been. But that's not how senior year turned out. Nope. So it was probably one of the worst years of my life. It was so bad.
One of the worst years for communication, tie back.
Yeah, tie back to communication. It's so bad. Like the only thing more painful than this would be to see you on be on your team on like Family Feud and you get the topic Harry Potter. I would be so mad. I would be livid because you'd be like all your questions are Harry Potter based and I know them all. And then I just have to hear you stumble through. Well, Jim was in the haunted forest.
Jim was a wizard and he went to the forest where he found Dumbledore.
As your friend, I feel like I should be educating you on Harry Potter.
Well, maybe you can. We can watch Harry Potter. I would be happy to provide commentary. I'm a little scared
to watch Harry Potter with Jeremy.
Apparently your DVD player is scared to watch it too.
Right. I think that's because, you know, Wendy Wu broke my DVD player.
That's the title of the episode. I
mean, communication.
What if Wendy Wu were in Hogwarts?
That would be an interesting crossover.
What if Wendy Wu...
That'd be a lot of outfit changes.
It would be. They'd all be bad.
What if all the outfits were horrendous?
They were pretty bad.
They weren't great, but they weren't like Shake It Up, like that show bad.
Her friends in it were worse than her.
Yeah, choices. But it also very feels like fashion like stuck in the suburbs. Like, have you seen that movie? Like
years
that
ago. That was like
popular.
What if Wendy Wu were Dumbledore?
Why are we going down this tangent? You know nothing about Harry Potter. I refuse to talk about this anymore. Communication. Anyway,
Wendy Wu and the Order of the Phoenix.
I think Jeremy is
her going to a Baja Fresh in Phoenix, Arizona. Wendy Wu and the Order of the Phoenix.
This is what I had to put up with. Editing Jeremy. Communication. We have great communication skills.
Yeah.
We're such liars. We're like, we write letters one time and then we've tried multiple methods of communication. We're trying to see which one fits us best, you know?
I think honestly the way that works the best for us is like when we have a phone call going on and we can use text at the same time as a means of showing pictures and communicating.
Oh, we do that a lot also.
Those are the most fun. So we'll be like, oh, have you seen this? And then we'll share it. Or we'll go on like Ashley Tisdale. Oh.
What are you talking about?
I was talking about the Ashley Tisdale one where we were just sharing photos of her on the red carpet over.
Oh, I was talking about the one where it was like live action Little Mermaid and there's like a dancing lobster music video thing. And yep. I was like this. Yeah. Those are fun. Those conversations are fun. I mean, but that's like every phone conversation. Like, I don't think I don't send stuff to you. I normally send stuff to you. Or the one time we fell asleep. But then we've fallen asleep on phone conversations before for like 2 hours or something. The conversation was 2 hours. I think it may have been longer, but like I remember falling asleep and I guess he fell asleep. I thought you just went to go do something and then I fell asleep. And I fell asleep.
And then I think I woke up and like, hello.
That freaked me out so much because I was asleep and I just hear hello. And I was like, what is going on? So I thought that like Jeremy had called me and I'd like answered or something. And I was like, why are you calling me at like 3 a.m., Jeremy? And you're like, we fell asleep. And I was oh. I'm really glad though. One thing I am really grateful for is like the iPhone's ability to change group chat names, because there have been so many times when I send Jeremy something and I may send it to like our mutual group chats and I'm like, never mind, I didn't need to say this in like our group chat.
What's your least favorite mode of communication with someone? If they were to randomly try to communicate with you unprovoked, what would be the worst way to do it?
What's the worst way? Like, where they wouldn't reach me or where it would just be irritating? Because, like, if someone sends me, like, a Facebook Messenger message, I probably won't see that unless I'm, like, in the app.
No, say you see it, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that comes in. What form of message or call or something is the one that gives you the most anxiety or you don't want to do?
Randomly?
Yep.
I mean, FaceTime would be strange, but yeah. I don't know if, like, I mean, a call randomly is also weird to me. Like, unless the person, I mean, I guess, but I'd probably still answer because I think it's, like, an emergency.
Mm.
But I do have friends who, like, randomly call me, and now I know it's not an emergency. They just want to talk.
How is that? Are you more used to it now, or is it still weird?
With certain people, I allow it because I'm like, okay.
You allow it.
Right, because that's just, like, they've, like, established that they're on their way to work or they're like doing something or like they have time and now they're calling. So I'm like, okay.
Do people just, well, oh,
they're sometimes calling. I don't answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do. If I mean, it just depends on what I'm doing, but.
Do you ever not answer just because you don't want to talk?
Oh yeah.
Me too.
Also, there's, I feel really badly about this. This makes me sound like a really bad person, but like there'll be sometimes when like, because I plan, right? Maybe like last week I was like, yeah, we'll talk on this day at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then come that day at that time, I'm sitting here thinking like, I'll think about it the day of and be like, oh my gosh, at this time I said I was talking to this person. Yeah. And also like, I don't know what I'm going to do because like, I don't really feel like talking. And like, so do I just like cancel? But then like, what is my reasoning? Cause like, I can't give like I have to give a good reasoning. You can't just keep using the same thing. It has to be believable, you know, something like that.
Can't keep using the same thing.
Yeah. You can't keep.
So using you've the used same it before.
No, I'm just saying that like, you can't, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like, you know.
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad about it too, but then I guess I've come to the point where I'm just like, if I don't want to talk, well, if I've scheduled to talk to somebody, I do.
If it's scheduled, normally I do it unless I just like really have had a lot. And then I'm like, okay, well, normally I'll just be like, hey, can we like talk a little bit later? And then they'll mm-hmm. like be fine with that. I'm trying to think of like a worst case scenario.
I don't like getting unprovoked FaceTime videos.
How many unprovoked FaceTime videos are you getting, Jeremy?
Not tons, but when they do happen, I'm like, I'm not picking this up at all.
It would be very strange to me because I'm like, why is someone randomly FaceTiming me with no prior?
Some people like it though. Some people love using FaceTime as like a means of regular communication, like impromptu conversation. And I'm like, that's ugh. Cool. They do. Yeah.
No, I don't know how many times I would actually answer that. I would probably leave it be and then text them right after and be like, hey, why'd you call me on FaceTime?
Yeah.
I like scheduling stuff. I like scheduling communication because then I have time to like conserve energy for that conversation.
I don't think most people are like that, though.
It's insane. I mean, it makes me sound insane because people are like, what do you mean? And I'm like, yeah, well, I just can't, like, talk to people for, like, I mean, I can, though. Like, I can have, like, it depends on the person. I think mm-hmm. it just goes back to that because like, I can have a conversation with my close friends, like, people I haven't spoken to in a while. The worst thing is if they're more than an acquaintance, they're like a friend, but they're not a close friend.
Yep.
It's horrible because it's just like, I don't know. Cause like I function so differently with like close friends and then just like friends that like I can talk to close friends and it won't feel like I just spent 5 hours on the phone. But like the people who are in the middle where they're like not close friends, but they're not acquaintances, it just feels like, not like a chore.
No,
but like it feels like
you can say a chore. That's what you mean.
But that sounds bad.
It's accurate though. I agree. It's hard to do.
It's
exhausting. Yeah.
It's so bad because then it gets to the point where like you both are just kind of sitting there. Like, what do I say next? But also, like, we've only talked for this much time, so I can't like leave the conversation. So you need to think of something else to prompt them with, and then just have the conversation or ask them about the same thing. And it's just like, I don't really want to talk about this, but like, I don't know what else to say and yeah. I can't hang up. And like, you also don't want to give away too much information because this person is not a close friend.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it exhausting is because if it's someone you know super well, you likely don't have the barriers up to the same degree, at least for me. So if it's someone I only kind of know, I'm both having to like make sure the conversation keeps going and then also regulate what I do or don't say. Because I don't really know the person. So yeah, it's like constant. It's exhausting because it doesn't feel like a natural conversation. It feels like performative in a way.
Even with like I don't know, maybe it's just like personality, but yeah. It's like there's the conversation's not fun. It's just very the worst. Weird.
The worst is when they don't have a sense of humor that's compatible and you have to be on a phone call for a long period of time.
I heard someone say the other day that like sense of humor doesn't really matter that much.
Liars. And I was like, liars.
For some people though, that's true though. They're like, yeah, I can just like that doesn't really matter in a friendship or relationship as much as like other things to me. And I'm just like, I think sense of humor is like a major one for me. So to be honest with you, if I think of all my close friends, it's because we have very similar senses of humor or like somewhat relate in some aspect of our humor. But right. With people who like you can't really laugh with, it's strange. But also like you pan to jokes more than I do in conversation.
What do you mean? Like pan
like
to?
That's how you level out deep conversations is throw in a lot of like jokes, and I don't do that. I can have deep conversations. The thing is, this person's like a friend, and also like I don't want to tell them that much because they're not like a close friend, but then I don't know where to go. I can't have a deep conversation with someone who's like in the middle.
Okay.
And then you feel badly because I feel badly about not being able to prioritize everyone. So
I gave up on that a while ago.
I'm still trying to do that, and I'm like, I feel badly if I don't.
It's not sustainable.
But I feel so badly if I don't, because it's like these people like.
You just have so many of these bachelors in the bachelor bubble, and I know that it's a lot for you, and they're all just clamoring, and so you got to keep them at bay. But you pick, you know, give roses to five of them, you know.
Right.
No, I get what you're saying, though. I mean, you just gotta. I mean, saying you gotta choose is like a bad thing, but.
Jeremy's like.
Well, you do kind of.
He's like, I only have five roses. So line up. Like,
well, I mean, you kind of have to do that. Maybe some people have an infinite, you know, well to pull from in terms of investing in people, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think some people, I don't think most people do on a deep level. Some people can invest in a lot of people on very surface levels and be like, yeah, I know like their names of their siblings and stuff like that, but like that's not how I really view friendship. So it's just different. I don't, at some point, it's going to sound bad, right? Like like to be like, people like to set it up as there's like all these different slots, like 5 people, 10 people I can invest in. But it gets to the point where you're going to just prioritize some people over the others, no matter what, even within close friendships, like you're just going to prioritize some people over the others, probably based off of like quality of conversation or something like that. I don't really know.
Yeah. It depends on the person. Yeah. It could be bad. It could be sense of humor. It can be lots of different things.
Yeah. Then again, I didn't think we had similar sense of humor at all. Like all through high school, I was like, no, we have very, very different senses of humor. Lies. You should have seen how many people I said that to.
Really?
I said that just so, because people were concerned about your humor in high school. And so then they would be like, how are you guys friends? And I'm like, yeah, well, we don't really have any similar sense of humor at all. So like, we just have like known each other for a while and like we have like deep conversations, but our sense of humor is very different.
So you were lying to all these people.
Well, I didn't think we had similar sense of, well, I say that, but then like the biscuit conversation was quite a while ago. But see, I didn't take that as like us having similar sense of humor. I just thought that was like a quirky conversation. So I was like, okay. We had a lot of quirky conversations over the years.
Quirky conversations for quirky people.
That's what we should have
more at 7.
The podcast. No, we have a lot of inside jokes, though. But a lot. Yeah. It's just like, but we have this, we do this thing in conversation, which I don't do with anyone else. I don't know, maybe you do this with other people. Maybe it's a you thing. Like,
oh, okay.
Where I will be talking, like we will be having a text conversation and like we'll have like 2 separate conversations at the same time. So like we're having a deep conversation, but then we're also having a very like a metaphoric, like funny conversation.
Oh.
Like we've done that quite a lot.
Yeah, I guess we do kind of do that. Are you talking about the times when we're like having a conversation that's a separate one in parentheses?
Sometimes we do that also. But sometimes it's just understood that there's a separate conversation going on at the same time.
There's that. There's also the time where we kind of just text what each other was texting at the same time.
That's happening more now. But that's, that's happening more. I don't think that happened when you were like younger as much. When you were younger, we did a lot of narratives.
I don't have tons of people where I know that I'm thinking the exact same thing as another person at the same time.
I think it's getting to the point where like I could just look at you and like I kind of know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like that happened a lot at the Modern Art Museum situation where we both gave each other looks of like, Like, I remember very, very vividly, like, when we passed the sculpture garden and you had said, what if this is the only statue? And then there was, like, these stairs and this door. And so I'm, like, shaking this door. Like, this has to be it. And then I remember both of us, we walk back up the stairs and we look at the map and we just look at each other for, like, a good minute. Because we were like, there's no way. Like, no way. And I remember that moment. We didn't say anything, though. No. But, like, I knew exactly what you were thinking because you were thinking the same thing I was thinking. So, like, stuff like that.
No, but I think it's weirder when it's, like, over text because we're not looking at each other.
No, I think it's because that proves that our mind goes to the exact same place. Because it happens so much. Like, not only in movies, but even over text.
Yeah.
Or, like, us commenting on something. It's, like, I was just thinking of it. Like, when you referenced, I wanted that. I went that way with the Backstreet Boys. I was thinking that exact same reference in my head right when you texted it. And I was like, man, you beat me. It's getting to the point where it's like, who beats who to the reference?
Yeah.
Because both of us are thinking it at the same time. Sometimes we send it at the exact same time. That happens a lot.
It happens a lot, yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, maybe we are more similar than like I thought we were.
And the movies are interesting because you have like a whole movie and tons of things are happening and we're both pinpointing the exact same things from the movies at the same time.
Literally, like you could probably sit us down in like any movie and we'd probably point out the exact same things. No, that is kind of weird. It is weird when we do it over text because it's like, or it's really creepy when we're in person and we say the exact same word at the exact same time. Like, sometimes there have been times where we're, like, watching something and we're both, like, choices at the exact same moment. And we're just, like, we are the grandmothers from Mono's
prequel. Yeah,
exactly. But I don't know why. Like, why is that? Like, how do we just, like, think of the same thing?
I don't know. I'd like to say it was just, like, being around each other a lot. But we were around each other a lot for a long time in school. That didn't really happen.
Right.
We didn't talk as much, I guess, though.
I don't think it's being around people for that long because I've had friends who I've had for a really long time and we don't have anything the same. Like there's no way that if we would watch a movie and we think the exact same things at all, actually. It would be very different commentary. I also don't know a lot of friends I could be like, let's watch a JJ the Jet Plane episode with.
And die.
It's so funny. It was so funny. Yeah.
Justice for Herky.
I mean, it was a lot. That was a lot. Honestly, the one JJ the Jet Plane episode sent us more than all of Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior.
That's true.
I mean, Wendy Wu held up, right? But like, JJ the Jet Plane discovers the ocean or something was a lot.
That was a lot, yeah. What if JJ was a homecoming warrior?
But can you imagine like the sweet life? Okay, but like, editing Jeremy, please take this tangent out.
Yeah, maybe.
Because this is ridiculous. I beg of you. Can you, okay, like plug JJ the Jet Plane into any like Disney Channel show. JJ is Hannah Montana. Mm. Herky is Lola. or like, and then Tracy as Mitchell Musso.
The sweet life of Snuffy and JJ.
Right. Let me tell you, if JJ was releasing music videos like Hannah Montana was, they'd probably all be bops because the theme song is a lot.
It is. JJ Fully Loaded?
Oh, interesting. Would that still be starring Lindsay Lohan? Except JJ's just Herbie, so it's just Lindsay Lohan on top of JJ the Jet Plane.
No, what if Lindsay Lohan was voicing one of the characters from
JJ the Jet Plane? Interesting. Well, who's going to be voicing Herky?
Wait, Freaky Friday. But it's JJ and Herky.
We live for that. That would be everything. Tell me why we'd watch that.
I would watch that in a second.
Can you imagine the scenes? They're just like, but what if they use all the scenes from Freaky Friday, but just inserted JJ and Herky into them? So everything's the same proportion, but with giant JJ the Jet Plane and Herky in like a Chinese restaurant.
Oh my gosh. Does the set get destroyed as they roll around?
That means JJ's in a band in his garage.
Yep.
And then how is he going to get on the motorcycle with that guy, the main love interest?
Just crushes the guy.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway. I don't know. Yeah, but we communicate. We do so in our own way. And I guess you all do so in your own ways with the people that you know.
Yeah, like we want to know. Do you talk about, like, how do your conversations with your close friends go? Do they sound anything like ours sound?
Yeah, do we sound insane?
I know we go from like 0 to 100. So we'll be talking about something really serious and then it'll be like,
much like JJ taking off.
I feel like we're never, for as long as we live, we're never going to stop.
Okay, question.
Oh, no.
Okay. Harry Potter was in
No, I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to hear it. I have a question. I'm not listening to you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want editing. Jeremy, you better take this out.
I'll ask the audience and I'll keep it in. Maybe I'll up the volume. I don't want to hear this question. Okay, but you know, audience, Harry Potter, I think, is like on a broom and goes around and goes after that little flying thing in the first movie. Is he faster or slower than JJ? Like, who would win in an airborne race? What do you call the little thing that flies in that movie that they play a game for and they fly around?
An owl? Little thing that flies?
No, it's like a game and they're trying to catch it and they're on brooms and they fly around.
No, you're the Harry Potter expert.
Quidditch? That's not right.
No, that is right. I'm so mad he got that right.
Boom clap. Okay, Quidditch. Would JJ win against Harry Potter in Quidditch? Like, what if the scene of that, but JJ?
JJ seems very uncoordinated to me, so probably not. These are questions we want answered.
Right. Not the more. These are the important questions.
It's a question, right? Okay, like, do you have conversations about like your like JJ the jet plane stuff with your other friends?
No. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, what about like other? Okay, maybe JJ the jet plane is an extreme example.
Is he? He's an icon. He is the
moment. Okay, right. But like, I don't think you can. Yes, that's why. What you said in your close friend group chat? JJ the jet plane is the moment, followed by that. Like,
I learned how to stretch based off of JJ.
Right. Exactly. The first scene of him like losing control in the sky, and, like plummeting.
So funny.
Jeremy lost it.
I did lose it.
So what if Ted Cruz was JJ the jet plane?
Wait.
Could Cancun? JJ goes to Cancun. JJ, there's a blizzard coming.
Oh my
JJ
God.
Decided he wanted to go to Cancun.
Wow. Yeah. JJ and Herky flee the country in a power
based
outage.
Based on a true story inspired by true events.
Right.
No, oh I God. Mean, like, yeah, I guess this hypothetical is still be fun, though. I mean, we've gone on hypothetical, like, serious rants.
We have, before. But there's, you know, it's a mixture of stuff. I don't
this normally is... we start out with, like, what I've noticed is that we start out where everybody else starts out, where, like, you start out with your close friends. I start out with my close friends of, like, for example, the whole, like, weather thing where we were trying to rant about Texas weather.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with us is that then we, like, 5 minutes later, the conversation is now Texas has boycotted Frosty the Snowman. We're building a border. Like, keep Frosty out.
Right.
Yeah, that type of thing. Like, it escalates quite fast to something that's nonsensical.
Well, it's sensical to us.
Like I said, I don't think our sense of humor is that similar, but...
But they are. And I think our sense of communicating is similar. You know, two people who don't have a similar sense of humor... Or communication style are these people in this movie that we watched. It's a transition.
What is the name of this movie?
Stay Tuned. Okay. A 1992 film.
they just log off the podcast because you're like, stay tuned.
No.
That was very like, stay tuned, pause. I was like, no.
Well, it makes sense in terms of the context of the movie, but yeah, no. We're talking about it now, I guess. So don't worry. Can you imagine next week?
So it's about this husband who watches so much TV and doesn't pay attention to his wife. And then the wife gets fed up and she's like, you know, I'm just going to like leave. But before she leaves, right, she's like packing her stuff. And then the husband answers the door and there's just like salesman who is like can only describe as like.
I think he described as Inspector Gadget when we were doing.
Well, his outfit was very Inspector Gadget.
But he didn't act that way, though.
No, it was like, I'm thinking of a reference in my head, and, like, I can't, like...
Pink Panther.
No. Who would Pink Panthers like that?
No, but I'm trying to think of other people who wear suits and are, like, ominous like that.
You're saying Pink Panther's ominous?
On mute, maybe.
I'm not sure Steve Martin is Pink Panther is really the... most ominous character. When I think of ominous, I do not think of that in my mind, but okay, go
wasn't
off.
It originally not Steve Martin? Anyway.
It's not Steve Martin in the original, yeah. But I thought you meant like
no.
The remake.
I
think like, okay, I don't have a reference for this.
Trench
but like, think
coat.
Of like Inspector Gadget outfit.
Yeah.
But this guy is like, he's confident. He's like, goes up to this, his door and he's like, here's this like remote and like, tries to sell him this remote and this like TV and this dish. And so this guy's just like, yeah, because
Well, he originally says no.
Yeah, he originally says no, but the guy like pushes his way through and then just like sets it up anyway. So yeah. Now he has this giant, and when I mean giant, I'm not exaggerating. This could be like a commercial for like, what is it? Dish
Network, yeah.
Network or whatever. Because it's just like this giant, like ginormous, like disc set up in the back of dish set up in the back of their backyard.
Like 50 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise. Isn't this supposed to be like,
also, how would you describe the, because they also installed a new television,
right?
How would you describe the way this television looks?
It's like, how do I describe this? It's like if IKEA made televisions.
Kinda, yeah. Like it's a lot of wood.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And this like person, I guess he's supposed to be like the devil or something.
Yeah, he is.
So I don't know how that was established, but okay. And so then this dish, right? Like he sets it up and everything. And like the father's like ecstatic about it. Like he's so happy.
Yeah, because the notion is like you can get tons of different channels that you couldn't get anywhere else, right? Like that's the appeal of the service too, which we later find out is for different reasons. So he's fighting with his wife. She's trying to leave. And as that's happening, we learn that the dish can like move and shoot lasers and pull people into the Dish Network, if you will. It's not Dish Network, but
the food network. You're pulled in to the Food Network. Can you imagine? Yeah,
I mean, but honestly, like,
you're just in Iron Chef America. Right. With the cooking skills.
Well, this one, they were teleported first into a game show, right?
Yes. It was like a, what was it called? Something Life.
Was it referenced to like Price is Right, but it wasn't? I don't know. But it was one of those things where it's like the different doors and something's behind each door.
You had to answer like questions.
Yeah.
Based on like your relationship with that person, which I feel like would be really difficult to do just in general.
Yeah.
Like if someone was like, what date did you meet this person? I would be like, literally no idea. I can give you like a ballpark idea, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like, what's their favorite animal? What's their favorite color? Like, that's my moment because I know
that. Well, those questions weren't even like that. They were like riddles almost that they were being asked.
Yeah, it was very strange. But they overcome that. And like, spoiler alert, I mean, the rest of the film is just like going through like different TV shows. And like, eventually they're like becoming closer and closer. But they go through like this game show one. And then they're teleported to a murder mystery one?
I think the ice one's first.
Oh, yeah, the ice one. So they're just like...
This was a lot.
Yeah, you want to explain it?
It was like they were teleported into the middle of Alaska or like Siberia. I don't know. But they're in this little shed or they're near a shed surrounded by wolves. And I guess we also needed context that there's this character who was originally in Hell. And Hell looks like... the set of CNN or something, like, but like a boardroom, and they're all watching these people that they've teleported into the system in these television shows, and the devil is trying to essentially kill them in here and then take their souls by doing so. In this one, and prior to doing that, there's a guy who was working for the devil who pissed off the devil, and so then he's like, you need to do field work, and then he teleports him into the system, right? This is important context because he keeps showing up throughout the whole thing. And one place he shows up is this ice scene where they meet him inside of a shed and they get sort of the lowdown, if you will, on what's happening. And they end up getting away from the wolves by pushing the shed in the middle of the freezing cold to an ice fishing hole, which then is able to teleport them into the new channel.
They almost get eaten, but then they don't. But like the new channel that they're in is all of a sudden a murder mystery. No,
cartoon?
It's the cartoon.
The cartoon looked great. I will say, I did not expect the cartoon to look that good.
The cartoon did look nice. It was like a Tom and Jerry kind of spoof type thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, the whole movie could have just been them teleporting that thing and it would have been everything also. And so just like the regular, like, except this is like Tom 2.0. This was like a robot cat, which they solve by eventually, it's just like them running around a bunch. And then eventually like in cartoon fashion, they mail a letter to like a mechanical, not animated. It's all animated, like Acme. A robot dog.
Yeah, they send an email. they send a letter to Acme, I think, and it's like a robot dog shows up and beats up the cat, and then they both go to the next world, which is the murder.
Right. So then they're like separated here, and like it's like very like mafia like. And then they like meet in a club. And then that guy's there again, right? There's another guy who's there who's also been sucked into the television.
Yeah.
And he like loves it. And he has a remote though. He brought his remote with him. Like smart.
It is smart.
And so he gets shot. So he's a goner. But they take his remote. And so then they're like, okay, now we can like change the channel and like get into like different things. And this whole time, like the devil character who like sold them the TV is mad because like no one's ever gotten this far. And yeah. I think the next one is like very Scarlet Pimpernel type.
So you're right. The next one is the French Revolution one where the husband is in drag.
Right.
Yes.
And so then he's almost about to get his head chopped off. And like the whole time this is happening, it's also panning back to the kids who have now realized their parents are like in the television. And mm-hmm. somehow this kid is like a spy kid. Like that's all I can think of because like he's like, somehow like rigged it, all of his, he's stealing power from the neighbors to like transmit like whatever over to this dish or whatever.
It's like the king of Radio Shack.
Right.
Honestly though.
Exactly. And so he's like able to talk to his parents for like 2 seconds. But like the whole time that he's talking to them, like these people think that he's like a god. So he's like, yeah, let this person go. And then they lose communication with him. Mm-hmm. But then like the devil guy is really mad because they like the timer is gone. Like whatever that means. Like,
well, the contract is up. The contract's up. Their soul
should technically. You explain this because I didn't really understand this. The contract's only for like one person.
So technically he signed the contract and therefore the wife going in and being sucked in was just like collateral that was not connected to the contract. Right. And therefore the devil was only in charge of restoring the soul of him, not her. So he's like, after that happens and he survives, he's teleported out of the system, but she's still there. Inside the French Revolution fantasy place.
Oh, okay. So then true Western fashion, like he goes back in to save her and she's tied to like, she's not even tied to train tracks. She's like tied to a wagon on train tracks with dynamite.
In a Western.
Yeah. So, and then like the devil shows up and they have like a shootout, but then he doesn't get shot. And then they fight about it. And then there's, like, this montage of just, like, the main character going through several different scenes. And one of them is, like, a music video.
Yeah, it's a music video for, like, TLC or something.
But not TV.
No. The group TLC, I think. Not the network
TLC. But it was supposed to be MTV, though. Like, that's
no, the place that no, but, like, it's MTV. But the music video, I think, is supposed to be a parody of the band TLC.
Oh, is it, though?
I think.
Are you sure?
Or another group like that.
Maybe. I just know that it was very strange because they spent so much time there. And I was like, what is this like? Okay.
It was very, maybe it wasn't TLC. It was something like that. It was very abrupt though. It went from like Western to that to medieval times fencing competition.
Which we later found out was a reference to the movie Seahawk, if anybody's wondering, because that information is literally nowhere. But anyway, so like then they go back and he ends up saving his wife. Spoiler alert.
Right.
And then they just like go back and the dish somehow just like disappears into the ground, which is very strange.
It melted and went back to hell. Because like the earth opened up and
everything. Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah.
Interesting. And then, like, everybody just kind of, like, forgets that that happened, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's very weird vibes.
I don't know. I think they were just happy that the dish was gone, which I understand. I would be, too.
What do you even do after something like that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess they can't get divorced after that. That's, like, a bonding experience, right?
There's no way. Yeah, because no one's going to ever. How are you going to talk about that with someone else?
No, I don't know.
That's the thing, like going back to communication, like that you can't really communicate that with someone else. Like it's like, just
remember when Dish Network took over my body.
Remember when we were in TLC?
Right.
I don't know. But like it was a good movie. Like I would probably rate this like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. 7 out of 10.
It was good. Go watch this movie. It's enjoyable. Like you have to kind of pay attention in the sense that there's like a lot of different scenes of stuff, but you also, it's not one of those where you have to pay like so much attention. Otherwise, nothing makes sense.
Right. You can watch the movie, not understand the television reference they're making and still find it amusing.
Yeah, exactly.
Were there any television references that they made that you found amusing?
Yeah. The, what is it? Oh my gosh. The one that really stumped me was when they went to the little zombie talk show thing and it was like, Lucifer 360. I was like, what? And then there was like another one. I'm not remembering the names of all of them.
I think one of them was like an I Love Lucy parody of I Love Lucifer, I think was one.
There was one that was just like a workout like video and oh my, just like oh, on fire.
Oh, it's the one, it's a parody of The Exorcist, but it was like The Exorcist, I think is what it was.
Yeah. And they just like die. It was like, they just like melt into the ground.
Yeah, it was like mixture of Jane Fonda workout video with The Exorcist. It was like, this is a lot, but I'm amused by it.
So. Oh my gosh, the children one.
What were the children?
When the car.
Remind me
when
more.
When they're on like a road trip and their children are just being like super loud.
Oh.
It was like a Silence of the Lambs reference, but like it was just like a muzzle that looked like the mask
from
Silence of the Lambs. I haven't seen Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
But that was dark. It was very dark. Like some of these references were only on the screen for like 2 or 3 seconds, but they're very dark references.
I wasn't mad at it.
It sent me, but I'm like, is that a problem? You know? But yeah, I would, it's good. I would say like 7 out of 10, like go watch it.
Yeah, I agree. Watch it while it's still on Amazon Prime. Right, because you never know.
Our movies somehow always leave Amazon Prime for the most part after we review them.
This is true. I think that's all for the movie review, unless you have more.
No. Pick a Diary of a Wimpy Kid book, Jeremy.
Okay. I don't know which one I'm picking. This is Cabin Fever?
Mm-hmm. Oh, flashbacks.
Yeah, really. All right, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Cabin Fever is the book for our book, what do you call it? Advice segment? There we go.
Oh, review. I was going to say book review.
Cabin Fever. What is it that one student in high school used to always say in SCRAG seminars? What's the theme?
What's the theme?
Oh, you know, fevers that happen in cabins? No. Let's see. I already hate this sentence because it's not grammatically correct, but we're going to go through.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy is Grammarly. So this is not grammatically correct.
I'll fix it, though.
No, just read it like it is.
Fine. Me and Rowley.
Continue. Me and Rowley.
Me and Rowley still
have... care less, Jeremy.
Stop. So oh my
me
God.
Me and Rowley.
As a Gryffindor.
Stop.
I'm sorry. Me and Rowley still have a lot of work to do to set up our holiday bazaar. But I realize we'd better not wait until the last minute to let people know about it.
Us?
I know.
Literally so, us.
So
we would totally plan an event and not tell anyone till the day before.
Oh, it's worse. So we went down to the town newspaper office and told them we wanted to order up a full page color ad in tomorrow's edition. This is just us.
Us. Struggle bus.
Sure. Advice from this. If you're going to plan a party, don't plan it the day before.
Because Jeremy and I are just planning parties.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When we planned our own holiday bazaars, we've always, you know.
Can you imagine?
No, I cannot. Advice. Yeah. Give yourself time to plan a party.
Oh my gosh. That would be so. Okay. But like seriously though, if we were to like if that would be something we would do.
A holiday bazaar?
Yeah, exactly. Like if we had like an apartment, I would definitely make us do like a holiday party or like a Halloween party, but then people would open the door, just us in the Monos costume. Like, okay.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I don't know. Advice on this. Yeah. Just be sure to carefully plan out events and parties and properly advertise for them. And
we're the best people to give this advice.
We are.
Jeremy just loves throwing parties.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I've thrown such great parties in the past also. So.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So he's inspired to start throwing parties because I do them so well.
It's true. I saw her throw enough parties where I am inspired to start a holiday bazaar as a yearly thing. That's what's happening. Yeah. I don't know. That's my advice. Maybe it's
pretty, I'm glad I'm inspirational to some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's debatable.
Yeah, you put the fever in cabin fever.
That's so mean. She said the car looked flashy and that Sunset only had two doors. It wasn't practical for a family of five. But Dad said it was the car he wanted and he kept it.
Okay, advice from that.
I have a hard time giving advice about this because most of the stuff I buy is not because it's like, oh, this is flashy. If you want to buy something, this is good advice, I don't even know. If you want to buy something, you know, let me just be Jeremy for a second. Pros and cons.
Oh my God.
Okay. Pros and cons, right? Mm-hmm. You know, weigh your pros and cons accordingly. Even if it's not that practical, are the like pros for it being like flashy and stuff outweigh like.
Yeah, yeah. Pros for, like, so an example, right? You're going to a snow cone parlor and you're like, oh my God, a blue coconut snow cone. Pros, it's blue and it claims to be coconut. Cons, it tastes bad.
You've never tasted one.
And I have.
You gave me one. I did not give you a blue coconut snow cone.
It was frozen, but you did.
It doesn't count if it's frozen. It was like a popsicle form.
All I'm saying is when I tasted it, I didn't taste the coconut or the blue.
You also barely tasted it.
Do you have to eat the whole thing to get the whole coconut?
You have to at least bite into it. I have a picture of you. It's a Polaroid picture of you just like the tip of your tongue licking the popsicle. That's all you did. And you were like trash. So, you know.
Yeah, so pros, you know, it's a interesting sounding thing. Cons, blue coconuts don't exist and it tastes bad. But maybe you want to make that irrational purchase.
I don't make irrational food purchases. Like if that's like
Captain Crunch milkshake.
That was one time. Name something else besides those two things that I've bought that's just been like, what are you doing?
Enchiladas with different sauce.
You bought that too. Literally. And then we switched. Like, I guess I did buy cactus juice that one time. And then I made you drink it. And you were like, this is bad. Why'd you make me drink it? But let's be real. Nothing compares to the atrocity that was tiramisu roll on our birthdays.
Nothing can top that.
No, that was another moment where we were looking at each other and knew exactly what we were thinking.
Yep.
Like I could see it in your face. Who's taking the first bite? I'm like, okay. But yeah, my advice is just like weigh your pros and cons when you're making like purchases on anything. You know, is this invisibility ink pen really an invisibility ink pen?
Or is it just words?
Or yeah, but like what are words except invisible ink?
Yeah.
A philosopher
the
once
one
said.
The one decent thing I've said over 33 episodes.
No, you've said other great things like
justice for Herky.
no, there have been other funny things where it's just like, what in the world did he mean by that?
No.
What other, I mean, you said other things besides justice for Herky. I hope that's not your most iconic phrase.
Peppa purchases.
Oh my gosh, iconic.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If we made
merch.
Normal people on podcast making merch is just like, do your best. Do this is like justice for what are words but invisible ink?
Peppa purchases.
Make a Peppa purchase. So you're a Peppa problem. I mean, like, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, that's my advice. Just pros and cons, pros and cons. That would definitely be merch.
Speaking of pros, anything we should plug?
Yeah, our Instagram at Everything Is Tyne, our Twitter at Everything Is Tyne.
Everything Tyne.
Everything Tyne.
There you go.
Our YouTube channel at Everything Is Tyne, our Facebook page at Everything Is Tyne, and our personal Instagram at Ruby and Jeremy.
Yep.
We will definitely be posting on there soon.
No, so. We already have. Like, what do you think? We sent you there last week. What do you think of the content we posted this week?
Right. We really want to know.
We want to know. It was really inspirational. Like, it made us cry, but like, did it make you cry too?
All right.
Send in your tears below.
Mm-hmm. We also want to know, like, who should Jeremy go to the museum as? You know, like, should he dress up as Taylor Swift or should he, like, dress up as someone else, like the ice cream bunny? Those are the questions we need answered.
Probably the correct answer is try to go as, like, a cowboy and see if I can fit in.
As a cowboy?
I'm looking for my cowgirl.
One of them is like both of them are like a Western art museum type thing. So that would be interesting.
What if I just like stood against the wall and didn't move? I'm art.
What if like you stood somewhere on like one of the blank walls and then I just put like a little note card there and then walked away and like for 20 minutes see if anybody really thought you were
art? No, what you have to do on your end, like once that happens, you need to come by every once in a while and pretend you're looking at the art and like inspecting it and getting people to come around.
I would do that.
I know you would. It'd be everything.
And then I just keep walking around and I would see if anybody had the audacity to take a picture of you.
and you could ask people like, what do you think of this piece of art?
Right. So stay tuned for that content. Follow us.
It's very niche, but you know.
Right. Wait, can you be like, okay, like the, you're not going to get this reference because you were in school with me, but like, you know how like in some libraries, but like museums and stuff, they have like the animatronic people who talk?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
Is this like a Five Nights at Freddy's situation?
I've been to like, I think it was the Lyndon B. Johnson like library or whatever. And there was this like little, not even a diagram, like a display. And it was like him next to a fence. And then you like pressed his hand and he was like, my name is Lyndon B. Johnson.
That sounds horrible. I still
remember it. And I was in like seventh grade. You could do that. So like you could be like, press my shoulder for information. And then you have the accent. I feel like that would work in a children's museum. Like if you went to the children's museum, that would, oh my gosh.
A nightmare though.
That would be so funny. Because you know that like a kid would definitely come up and tap you on the shoulder and you have to be like, my name is Jeremiah the Prophet.
Hello, small human.
That's not an accent though. If you're just as a cowboy, you have to be like,
howdy, small human.
Yeah, that would be everything. We're definitely doing that. Follow us.
Welcome to the pandemic. If you don't have trauma now, you will soon.
Oh my gosh, you can't say stuff like that. You have to like stick to, if you're going to be a piece of art, you have to have like a niche of what you're talking about.
Herky the helicopter.
Justice for Herky.
Do you remember when Herky the helicopter fought in the war 1812? Let me give you that story, children.
The kid's just like, today I learned at the museum that Herky the helicopter. Okay, with JJ and Herky and like the powdered wigs and stuff.
Historical JJ.
Historical Herky. Okay. That's enough of that. Follow us.
Yeah.
Historical Herky is kind of sending
me. It is. Anyway.
Why does this stuff send us? Okay.
We're just really into history. Anyway. I guess that's all for the episode, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good herky-filled week, everyone.